Back. Preachers, they must there be seen, be upset, acting mean. Musicians must not play too loud, or jazzy like that worldly crowd. I don't like.
The doctor is in. Not a lot of hoopy, just straight talk with Dr. Gene Scott.
Well, the straight talk tonight is taught by a smart ass. Now, we just joined Rochester, and Dallas, and Fort Worth, and Denton, and Irving, and Hearst, and Arlington, and Mesquite, and all the cities of the Metroplex, and clear over into Ottawa, Canada. Canada will never be the same. I'm still riding Balaam's ass. Now, if you did not hear the prelude to what I'm going to say tonight, you are the loser. Why did God spend all his time having Balaam's ass talk to him? I'm in Numbers chapter 22 in the Bible, no less. Numbers chapter 22, where we encounter Balaam's ass. A hauling ass, a seeing ass, cautious ass, turning ass, fielding ass, smitten ass, crushing ass, patient ass, smart ass, falling ass, talking ass, questioning ass, counting ass, mocking ass, threatened ass, lucky ass, could have been dead ass, reasoning ass, refused ass, amazing ass, truly an amazing ass. Selah. And after all this dialogue between Balaam, the heathen, not a son of Aaron, prophet, not a child of Israel, with whom God had carried on several conversations, page 194, if you've got a Bible like mine, Old Testament, Numbers 23, part of the Pentateuch. Even the Samaritans believe that. After all this dialogue, verse 31 says, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. He bowed down his head and fell prostrate before the Lord, literally. And I ask a question. I've been on it for 10 minutes. Why then all the talking ass bit? It didn't seem to excite Balaam. All it took was opening Balaam's eyes and let him see the angel. And he fell down prostrate. So why'd God do this? And I've already told you, I think God really had fun. I think he had fun up in heaven. You know. Better deal with these rebellious people, and God will lay the record down here, but let's make it entertaining. What a playwright. God is interesting. He didn't need to go through this. One view of the angel put Balaam on his face. But God did it interestingly. Shows the angel to the ass first. Of course, that's been going on for years. If you've never seen an angel, take heart. The asses see him first. You don't have to be a spirit. You don't have to be spiritual to see an angel. Just be an ass. Isn't I get lots of lessons out of this chapter. I'm really glad that God did this. He didn't need the ass scene. He could have gone right to Act 2. Didn't need Act 1 in this play, this drama. He did it so I could shake up traditional Christians all over the United States on the night of May, what's this, 30th? Hey, that's an important day. You're interested in where the pledges have risen to, aren't you? We'll see. You know, I'm sure it's like God, you know. He delayed the appearance of the angel and the seeing of the angel by Balaam. Fiddle around with the ass first. I like God. I mean, tell you, God is really something. I would hate to have to be serving a God like the one that's peddled every Sunday by these television evangelists. He's dull, judgmental, narrow-minded, tunnel-visioned, and takes the blame that they dump on him for such idiocy. He must sit up there and say, at least the ass that talked for me was intelligent. Why am I getting blamed for this multitude of modern asses? God is dramatic. Why are you doing this? He didn't have to, that's the point. People say lots of times about me, well, you know, when he gets down to teaching, I gotta admit he teaches it right, as if as if you're the criteria, Mr. Critic. I really love some of these critics that are so pontifical. They couldn't even say hello in Greek, much less in Hebrew. Well, who cares? King James was written by God on Mount Sinai. My critics just don't like my methods. They wouldn't like God's either. Well, the main thing they don't like is that I have come to know God's ways. He gets your attention. I'm telling you, he gets your attention. I mean, the greatest prophet of the Messiah in the Old Testament runs around town and preaches for 3 years naked. I want you to know the attention getter for Jesus wasn't the best dressed man in the New Testament. John the Baptist was not your next door neighbor, everybody's ideal pastor. Why do we take the life out of God's book? I ain't going alone. I'm one man out here saying God and his word are interesting. You can make it dull if you want. I think God and his word are interesting. He didn't need this ass dialogue, but he did it. Then watch when the angel, I think it's funnier than anything else. The Lord opened the eyes of Balaam. He saw the angel of the Lord and fell flat. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, stand on thy feet, thou servant of the Lord. I have come unto thee to give thee a message for the world to hear. That ain't what the angel said. It was not that auspicious. The angel of the Lord appeared and says, why are you beating on your ass? Three times. Why? Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? I mean, you know, how many people see an angel? Well, we said they asked to see him first, but when you finally get around to seeing one, that ain't an everyday experience either. I mean, I'm telling you, if we're entitled to see an angel, we're entitled to get a big message, a super spiritual revelation. I mean, spirituality is something way out there. Behold, Balaam, I have come on beams of light from the outer reaches. Why have you beaten on your ass these three times, Balaam? Can't you see this evangelist? He comes in and says to his wife, honey, I fasted and prayed for the last 12 days, and an angel of the Lord appeared unto me, and he said unto me, why art thou beating on thine ass? You couldn't even get an appointment on the diddly-dang show and tell the world about it and have some little rubber woman jump up and down and say, isn't that wonderful? The angel said, oh, why did you beat on your ass three times? Ain't that wonderful, honey? From Christian talk show to Christian talk show. The angel talked to him and said, wherefore hast thou beaten thine ass these three times? I like God. He's really down to earth. I mean, you know, he took care of the everyday things before he got around to the beholds. You don't. An angel can't. They got this thing, whole thing wrong. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast... You don't start out that way. It should read, the angel of the Lord said unto him, behold!
Behold!
This angel's confused. He's got the behold in the middle. Am I boring you? You realize we have used up three nights on this ass. We're just getting started. This angel doesn't, God doesn't play by the rules. He doesn't. There ain't no way God start out that way. Behold is the way to start. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, he's laying down there now. He saw the angel. And this Balaam is laying on his face, just laying there on the ground. And he hears his angel. Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Am I really hearing this? This ain't the way I thought the baptism of the Holy Ghost would be. This ain't the way I thought the second definite work of grace would come to me. This ain't no way to get sanctified. I think I'm boring all of you out there. I'm not going to go any further. I ain't going any further with this ass until I get a little bit of sympathy. Want a little comfort tonight. A little comfort, a little stroking, a little appreciation. I like the Thursday night crowd. Yeah, I like the Thursday night crowd. Now, I want to tell you something. Some of the greatest prophecies you ever heard come out of the mouth of this heathen Balaam. You ever heard, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent? Hath he said and shall he not do, or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? Balaam, that old heathen. You find prophecies over here. There's among the riches lifted out of the Old Testament and quoted in the New. I mean, great, great promises. This is one picked up in the New Testament, so there can be no doubt that God was speaking through him. 17th verse of the 24th chapter, there shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. There's some more. I'm going to get to them. There's promises that we're coming to. I'm doing the same thing God did, getting your attention. Be careful who or whom you decide that God will keep company with. I don't think you're interested in this story. Turn the knob, you'll find one of those behold, start with a behold programs. But I like God. That's what Christianity's about. The incarnation is God moved from behind the curtain of eternity and struck a tent. And he used an ordinary military word, struck a tent in human flesh. No man has seen God, but Christ literally led him from behind a curtain and put him on display. I'm so tired of the church world mystifying everything. I'm so tired of the church lifting the things of God and hurling them out into voodoo land until ordinary people think you got to suck your brains out and put weird cobwebs in order to be able to be a Christian or be spiritual. I like it. God says, what are you beating your ass for? Then, you know, after he gets that done, he takes care of those things, starts there where man is. Then he says, behold. I've been beholded too many times by remember the little lady in Ukiah? Got up and prophesied, I told you about. Yea, thou sayest, behold! Yea, thou sayest, thou watchest only the news on TV. But behold, thou watchest I Love Lucy also. And she went into her pet tirade. There have been an awful lot of idiocy peddled for God. I like a God talks through an ass. Gets a preacher on his face and asks him, why are you beating on your ass these three times? Do you want me to continue?
Yes, sir.
Then get on a telephone. We have been discussing Balaam's ass. As J. Vernon McGee said so eloquently, and I'm too loud. And he didn't say I'm too loud. I'm too loud. Who's up there? Mike Wakeman? Well, you go up there. I need Mike down here on camera. You run messages when he gets here. Whoever scripted this show put him in the wrong place. As J. Vernon McGee said so eloquently, in the Bible, a talking ass was a miracle. Today in the church, it's a miracle when one doesn't talk. Now, this is an amazing ass. Turn the lights down. I can't stand to look at these people when I talk on this subject. I mean, when I look at this, I got to have my glasses on. Now, we have spent three nights on this ass. I You ought to know the story by now. And Balak, the son of Zippor. As I've said, there are things worse than being an orphan. Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Ammonites. He decided to get a preacher that would say for pay what he wanted. If he had lived today, he wouldn't have had to look so far. I could have given him a list for a commission. He sent his men to find Balaam. He said, I'm scared of the Israelites. They've been walking all over everybody. And I want you to come and curse them. And you know the story. God told him, told Balaam, he better not say whatever. God didn't tell him. Now this is a heathen. Balaam was not a son of Abraham. Balaam was not a son of Jacob. He wasn't even married to Jacob's daughters. He was a heathen. And yet God talked to him. He didn't even have to be born again. You know how really stupid it is when this modern talking ass says God doesn't hear the prayers of Jews and Catholics. I do not intend to let up on trying to let the world know you don't really have to be stupid to be a Christian. You don't have to park your brains at the door of the church. You don't have to be like some of these. Preachers. If I didn't have the Bible, I'd really give up on Christianity. But it rescues me. Here's God talking to a heathen. God can't do that. God got out of the box. Anybody knows God's a Baptist, he doesn't talk to heathen. God's anger was kindled against Balaam. Now, we're paying quite a lot of attention to this ass for a reason. The subject matter is the lost tribes. I believe that one of the greatest demonstrations of God's control over history is his ability to carry out his promises in spite of these people. When he chose them as an oracle, because of the faith of Abram, election was translated by them, as it is in today's church world, into privilege instead of responsibility. But if you give common sense meanings to words instead of super spiritual voodoo, it starts being sensible. We elect people for responsibility, not just for privilege. God elected them for responsibility. They were to become the channel through which God's revelation of himself was to be kept true. And if they didn't do it willingly, like a director on the stage of history, he exercised his control in such a way to make their life work out a drama that taught about him. And the way in which he carried out his promises and made the streams of history flow in channels where it was needed is one of the greatest demonstrations of God's power and faithfulness to his word to be found in Scripture. The tragedy is most of the historic church world has ignored this truth. And I am tracing the promises not just to the Jew, which are many, but to the house of Joseph. And that important division in the promises of God in 1 Chronicles 5 and Genesis 8, 48 and 49, where the birthright was divided, those promises of God to come about because of natural birth and right of birth were divided. The scepter, the right of kingship, and the right to make the law went to Judah. The birthright, all the rest of it, went to the sons of Joseph. The scepter is Judah's, the birthright is Joseph. You will forever confuse God's book, and that's why you hear very little preaching on the minor prophets. If you do not recognize that God divided the flow of his promises and his commitment to perform into two channels, the Jew has their set of promises, the house of Israel, the northern 10-tribe kingdom, another set. And we're tracing that neglected portion of Scripture simply to show God's performance with Israel. But en route, God used an ass. Remarkable. And I've been hung up on it all these days. God's anger, we're analyzing this ass. God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. I'm on page 193 if you've got a Bible like mine. If you don't, you should have, but you can find it in a Gideon Bible. This kind you find in hotel rooms. If you turn to Numbers 22, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, chapter 22, verse 22. Now he was riding upon his ass. Now, it's amazing how much we can get out of these verses if we pause. I told you to write in the margin so you would never forget it. It's a hauling ass. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw, you may say, you enjoy this, don't you? Yes. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. I got my Bible margin, seeing ass. Quite an ass. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord. Now, you know, some people think to be spiritual, you got to see an angel. I've never seen one. It is very comforting to know that it's an ass that sees the angel first. Some of us, well, let me go on. And the ass, nothing, you know, it doesn't make you so super to see an angel all the time. Just an ass. I grew up in a revival movement where you saw an ass twine behind every bush. And that ass was seeing an angel behind every leaf. Selah. Think of that. The ass saw the angel. Now we got a hauling ass and a seeing ass of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside. Turning ass. Out of the way. Moving ass. Out of the way. You know, most people that teach the Bible hope you won't analyze what they're saying. You know, they get a text and then they find it, or they get a subject and then they hunt for a text. I can't, the Bible just really brings me to a stop every time I open it. It's just got all kinds of little nuances of meaning that come out of it. Hauling ass, seeing ass, turning ass, moving ass, went into the field, fielding ass. You may say, aren't you overdoing this? Yes. Why are you doing it? We'll see in a minute. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
I mean, three nights on one ass. Number four now. See what else we can get out of. Balaam smote the ass. Now we have a smitten ass. Quite an ass. Hauling ass, seeing ass, turning ass, moving ass, feeling ass, smitten ass. All out of two verses. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, the wall being on this side and the wall on that side. You got a picture? And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself under the wall and, I ain't touching that at all, and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. Foot crushing ass. And he smote her again. And she took it twice. She's a patient ass. By the way, it's a she ass. The pronoun identifies. And the angel of the Lord, I had something to say, but I'm going on. And the angel of the Lord went further, stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. Now, we've been over this territory before. But it still just blows me away. Smart ass. That's what she was. Fallen ass. Now, right now, I have traditional Christians just sitting there in their room saying, "Blessed holy angels, come and purify the air." But they're still watching. Let's keep going. I have a reason for what I'm doing. By the way, you interested in where the thermometer is tonight?
Yes, sir.
Later. I can tell you it's climbed up some more. We're heading toward 3 million. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. And she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" Talking ass, questioning ass, counting ass. I've been teaching on this three nights, and I've taught on it before, and I still can't go past it without it blowing me away. What would it take to arouse this guy, Balaam? It's the most amazing story I've ever seen. Now, you've heard it three nights, John. Would you sit there on that thing if your ass started talking to you? I mean, how often does your ass talk to you? Least of all, question you, reason with you, and count. I mean, that's the most amazing thing I ever heard. "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" I would have beat Alan Shepard into space. And he doesn't do it. He looks around. And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me." You know, most people do not believe the Bible. I listen to this pompous relative of the subject of this story get on television supposedly to discuss something with somebody, and then he fights dirty. "Do you believe the Bible's in there, Word of God?" The fundamentalists, and they're lots of good, they know their Bible, lots of good fundamentalists. But most of them don't believe it. How could you read the Bible through and just race through this 22nd chapter and believe this really happened like this? You'd not be amazed. And this ass, you're riding, the ass is jerking you around. And then it starts talking to you. You beat on your ass a while, and your ass says, "Why are you beating on me? These three times." The amazing thing is Balaam is nonplussed by it. He doesn't say anything. "Well, because you mocked me." Come on, get some flesh and blood into this and get into this. I mean, it's a strange story. Balaam said unto the ass, like it was an everyday occurrence, you know. "And I wondered when you were going to speak up." Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now I'd kill you." Threatened ass. Lucky ass. Could have been dead ass. And the ass said unto Balaam, "Are you here tonight? Am not I thine ass?" I wouldn't take this calm if my ass asked me, if I knew my ass was my ass. Reasoning is quite an ass. You know how many people you could get in the Shrine Auditorium if you would advertise this ass in the LA Times? You know what this ass is worth? Who needs Balak the son of Zippor when you got an ass like this? And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day," literally, ridden all thy life. "Was I ever wont, almost a wanton ass?" Amazing what you can get out of this. "Was I ever wont to do so unto thee?" I'm not sure I'm ever going to get off this ass. It just amazes me. Your ass do this kind of reasoning with you. And Balaam said, "Nay." "Nay, big deal. What are you mumbling about, Craig? You drunk or what?" He's kind of slow, though. "Now the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his face and fell prostrate to the ground." Proper spiritual positioning. Now, if you had listened to most of the preachers today, particularly in the super spiritual crowd, you get marvelous messages from angels. I mean, every Christian should long for the day that an angel deigns to talk with you. Now, they got them tweeting out of the tree tops. Angels tell them which brand of toilet paper to buy in a 7-Eleven store. I mean, you can't even call the kids to dinner without having an angel do it for you. One-upmanship in the spiritual world. You can't be a Christian if you haven't got an angel. There's one of them that sees them everywhere, you know. Cameramen get backs thrown out trying to find him in his service. Marvelous messages from angels. Now get this scene. Balaam's prostrate. The angel's finally going to talk to him. Ask God at first. Big deal, this angel message.
Why have you beaten on your ass three times?
You know what he said? Like I said when I started out, God hadn't got any business talking to this heathen. And he ought to protect his image a little better and have that angel, when it comes, say something more magnificent than, why are you beating on your ass? See, Christianity has departed a long ways from where it started, the simple little creed. Three words in the English, two in the Greek. God was in Christ. The mystery, the substance of God that cast shadows throughout this Old Testament, in the fullness of time, God moved from behind the curtain of eternity and the barrier of time, and as John has it in his gospel, struck a tent, military language is being used, struck a tent in human flesh, called Jesus of Nazareth, and walked out into the street where ordinary people live, and brought God into the ordinary. That's what the incarnation claims. It was the religious people that rejected him. God moved from the mysterious, from the mystical, from the invisible, from the eternal, and struck a tent in ordinary flesh called Jesus of Nazareth, and brought God into the stuff of life. And it seems that the church has ever since been trying to project him back into mysticism, back into the strange, back into the unknown. And the cry of this ministry, if it has any identity, is, let's rescue that message of God moving into ordinary life where ordinary people live and breathe, from the voodoo of super spirituality that invades the church at every generation since Jesus came. In essence, I like God. He sends the angel. First thing he says, what are you beating on your ass three times for? That ain't something you will write in your biography. Then he gets around to why I got on this subject. Where hast thou beaten thine ass these three times? Behold. Now, that ain't the way you do it. Angels must always start with the super spiritual word. Behold should have been first. This whole thing's messed up. Behold, I went out to withstand thee because thy way is perverse before me. What a message. Why are you beating on your ass, you pervert? That's why Jerry Falwell can't preach on this text. I've never heard him on this.